Ready to turn wood into art. We're diving into the world of scroll sawing today, and this awesome vintage book, Big Book of Scroll Saw Woodworking, is our trusty guide.
It really is a gem.
It is. We're talking going from those first, kind of shaky cuts to crafting some seriously cool projects.
And what I love about this book is it doesn't just throw you in the deep end,
Yeah.
It starts with the basics, like picking the right wood, which, believe me, makes a world of difference for a beginner.
Oh, absolutely. It's like you wouldn't learn to drive on a race car, right?
Exactly. This book compares choosing your wood to laying the foundation for a house. Start with something sturdy, something forgiving, like Baltic birch plywood, especially when you're just getting a feel for the saw.
Makes sense. Something that won't fight back too much on those first few cuts.
And speaking of finding the right fit, the book dives into blade selection too. It's just like needles, different sizes for different purposes, right?
Yeah, and this is where I think a lot of beginners, myself included, kind of stumble at first.
Oh, tell me about it.
The book does a good job explaining how using the wrong blade for your wood thickness can be a recipe for disaster, broken pieces, the whole shebang. It's like trying to cut a steak with a butter knife.
You've been there, haven't you?
Oh, let's just say I learned that one the hard way. Picture this. Intricate design, super thin sections, and me being all impatient, thinking I could speed things up with a larger blade.
Ooh, I can already see where this is going. A scroll saw massacre. Pretty much. The blade was way too aggressive for that delicate wood. Let's just say my project ended up looking a lot less like art and a lot more like abstract confetti.
Ouch. A valuable lesson learned, I'm sure. And it just goes to show those early chapters, those basics, they're full of these little nuggets of wisdom.
Absolutely. Even simple things. Having a well-lit workspace, good ventilation. The book stresses that stuff for a reason.
Which, let's be honest, good advice for any workshop, not just scroll sawing.
Right.
And while we're on the topic of good practices, they're big on dust collection.
As they should be. You don't want to be breathing in all that sawdust. This book really emphasizes safety.
Safety first, then teamwork. Then I saw some awesome stuff. Speaking of awesome stuff, let's dive into some techniques. This book is packed with them. Like, remember that feeling of getting glue everywhere when you're trying to attach a pattern to your wood?
Yeah.
They've got this genius trick for that.
The glue box method.
Yes.
So simple, but it makes a world of difference.
They recommend using a cardboard box to, contain the overspray from your adhesive.
Keeps your workspace so much cleaner.
It's like they knew our struggles, but adhesive mishaps aside, they also delve into some really important cutting techniques. Like, they're big on letting the saw do the work.
Yes, resist that urge to force it.
It's so true.
It's a common mistake for beginners to try and muscle their way through cuts.
Oh, I can totally see myself doing that, thinking I'm speeding things up. But as the book points out, patience is key in scroll sawing.
Exactly. Pushing the saw too hard can lead to broken blades, uneven cuts, and ultimately a less polished project.
Slow and steady wins the scroll saw race. Another thing they emphasize is the importance of drilling those blade entry holes correctly.
Absolutely, and it's not just about getting the placement right. The book stresses the importance of drilling straight, perpendicular to the wood.
Oh, okay.
Otherwise, you risk these wonky angled cuts that can throw off your entire design.
Yeah, it's all about setting yourself up for success from the get-go. And speaking of which, they have this really cool tip about cutting order. Tackle the most delicate sections first.
Which, when you think about it, makes perfect sense.
It does, because you want to have as much supporting wood structure as possible while you're working on those intricate parts. Imagine spending hours on a project, only to have a fragile piece snap off at the very end.
Oh, heartbreak.
Total heartbreak.
And that's where good technique comes in. The book uses the maple leaf pattern, which, by the way, you can see in the show notes, to demonstrate the loop method for navigating those sharp corners.
Oh, this is where things get really interesting. So instead of trying to cut a sharp point directly, you essentially ease around it in a loop, creating a smoother, more controlled cut.
Exactly.
Clever, right?
Very much so. It's about outsmarting those tricky angles.
Yeah.
Now, of course, we can't talk about scroll sawing without mentioning blade drift.
Ah, yes. Blade drift, that mysterious force that seems to plague even, experienced scroll sawers. The book does a good job of explaining why it happens, pointing to the design of the blades themselves.
Right. They tend to cut slightly to the side even when they appear straight. The book compares it to driving a car that pulls to one side. You constantly have to adjust your steering to stay on course.
That's a great analogy. And I'm guessing, just like with driving, experience really does help you anticipate and correct for that drift.
Absolutely. And it does take practice, but the book offers some great advice. Rather than fighting the drift, learn to work with it.
Oh, interesting.
Anticipate the direction the blade wants to go and adjust your cutting accordingly.
So it's almost like a dance between you and the saw, finding that rhythm and flow. It really is. And speaking of projects that require like a really steady hand and an understanding of that blade drift, the book introduces this fascinating challenge, the balancing hummingbird puzzle.
Oh, yeah.
I have to admit, when I saw the pictures in the book,
it sounds
awesome. I was immediately intrigued.
It's a showstopper, for sure.
Okay.
And the book does a great job of breaking down, you know, not just the how-to, but also the why behind some of the design choices.
Right. Like, this puzzle isn't just about cutting out intricate shapes.
Right.
It actually moves.
Yeah.
How does that even work?
So the design itself is brilliant.
Yeah.
Right? The pieces interlock in a way that allows the hummingbird to balance independently.
Okay.
And the book explains how even the slightest nudge can set it into motion.
Wow.
Creating this like captivating, almost lifelike movement.
So it's like a combination of woodworking, physics, and art all in one.
Exactly.
And speaking of art, I noticed that the book recommends using a specific type of wood for this project.
Yes.
Terra rosa.
Right.
And it's not just about the beautiful color, which, by the way, can range from like a delicate pink to a rich, almost rosy red.
Oh, wow.
The book explains that Terra rosa is also known for its strength and stability.
Okay.
Which are essential for those thin, delicate sections of the hummingbird's wings.
So choosing the right wood is as much about structural integrity as it is about aesthetics.
Absolutely.
It's like they say, form follows function, mm-hmm. even in scroll sawing. But I imagine crafting something this intricate probably comes with its own set of, like, challenges.
Absolutely. And the book highlights a few key things to keep in mind. For example, because some of the pieces are so thin, understanding wood grain direction becomes crucial.
Oh, I bet.
You cut against the grain, and you risk those pieces, like snapping like twigs.
Right, because you're working with the wood's like natural tendencies, not against them.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And the book really emphasizes the importance of taking your time with sanding for this particular project.
Why is sanding so crucial for the hummingbird puzzle?
Well, think about it.
Okay.
This is a puzzle that's meant to be touched, played with.
Right.
Those smooth, polished edges not only feel good in your hand, but they also contribute to the puzzle's overall elegance.
It's all about those finishing touches that elevate a project from good to exceptional.
Precisely. And can you imagine the satisfaction of completing this hummingbird?
Yeah.
Seeing it all come together, those delicate wings perfectly balanced.
Oh, I can only imagine. And then, of course, there's the fun of watching your friends and family try to solve it.
Exactly.
I bet it would keep them entertained for hours.
For sure.
Well, I think we've covered a lot of ground today, from those first, you know, maybe a little bit nervous cuts to the intricate beauty of the balancing hummingbird puzzle. If there's one key takeaway from the big book of scroll saw woodworking, it's that this craft is about more than just following instructions.
It's true.
It's about understanding your tools, respecting the materials.
Yes.
And approaching every project with like a healthy dose of patience.
Yes.
And a dash of creativity.
It really is. And, you know, if I may add, don't be afraid to experiment.
Yes.
This book is a fantastic starting point. But the real magic happens when you start putting your own spin on things.
I love that.
The book mentions a bunch of different finishing techniques, painting, staining, even combining different types of wood.
Oh, that's so cool.
That's where your own artistic vision can really shine through. You're taking those fundamental techniques and transforming them into something uniquely your own.
It's taking it to that next level.
Exactly. And that's what makes scroll sawing so rewarding. The joy of taking a simple piece of wood and with a little bit of skill and a whole lot of heart, turning it into a work of art.
Beautifully said. On that note of creative inspiration, we'll leave you to explore the world of scroll sawing. Until next time, happy crafting.